We'll go ahead and get started today. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, we praise you for another Lord's Day. We praise you that you promise that as your word goes forth, it will not return void. We pray that it would return blessings for us, that we would give our attention to it, whether it's the teaching of it, the reading of it, or the proclamation of it. Lord, bless the scriptures to our hearts, minds, and wills. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week we started a little series on spiritual gifts. And we noted that, you know, for some this might be rather perplexing. Why are we doing a series on spiritual gifts in a Presbyterian church? Presbyterians don't talk about spiritual gifts typically. But it's needed. We live in a day and time, and especially in our American evangelical context, where there's a lot of confusion regarding spiritual gifts. And perhaps more applicable for us, there's a lot of folks who like to sit on the sidelines. And we don't want that to be true of us. We want to, God willing, use our gifts for His glory and for the good of people. So we started by thinking about three simple questions. The first one, what are spiritual gifts? We said, you know, it's abilities God sovereignly and graciously gives to Christians and makes effective for the edification of others and the revealing of the Lord's character and work. Simple definition. We worked through that. Who gives spiritual gifts? That's a rather basic question, but there's a lot of profundity to it. Because who gives spiritual gifts? Well, it's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's the one God who is triune, who is good, who delights to give good gifts to His children. And so as a result, we should be quite thankful for the gifts that He has given, not begrudging God for withholding something from us, but actually thankful that He's been so kind to bless us in the ways that He has with the gifts that He has provided. And then the last one, to whom are spiritual gifts given? Well, to all Christians. And it's all of grace. It's not as if we deserve any of them. If you have service gifts, you praise the Lord for them because you don't deserve them at all. If you have speaking gifts, same thing. You praise God for His kindness. Your unique giftedness will always be indispensable in the work of the church. I think most Christians don't believe that. I don't think they actually believe that that's the case. I think most Christians believe that certain people's gifts are indispensable, but not everybody's. But that's inconsistent with what the Bible teaches, is it not? The Bible says that if you are an ear, you are necessary. If you are the pinky toe, you are important. Try walking around without a pinky toe. You won't be very successful, or you'll have a massive limp, for sure. We hurt ourselves and the church when we don't use our gifts. That's something we're being taught here as we begin. And it should lead us to, you know, maybe ask ourselves some questions, especially this one right here. Why am I not using my gifts? What excuses am I putting up that are keeping me from employing the blessings that God has given me, the abilities that God has given me, the gifts that He has provided? And as we move forward, we'll think about, okay, how can I use my gifts? Like, in what particular ways can I use my gifts? We'll give lots of different examples. But just from the get-go, let this question sink in. Why am I not using my gifts? Maybe we need to reorient our mind regarding what gifts can I use? What are the gifts? Maybe that needs to take place, because too often we have a tendency to believe that, oh, the only gifts that are really important are those who stand up in front and speak. Well, that is simply not true. This church would have fallen apart a long time ago if it weren't for people like, I'm sorry, Mark, but I'm going to point you out. If it weren't for people like Mark, I remember from the early days when, and Josh can testify to this, we didn't have a diaconate. And the church was, it wasn't great. It was really hard. And we needed them desperately. And I remember in the early days when we had no church secretary. And then Lily Seymour was hired. What a blessing. And Sarah McCoy and others as well. What a blessing. Huge benefit to the church for people to use their gifts. Why am I not using mine? Gospel gifts require involvement in a gospel church. And a gospel church is fruitless without gospel gifts. The health of a congregation can be measured by the use of gifts. How healthy is Grace Presbyterian Church? Today, we want to ask you a few more questions as we move forward in introducing this subject. What's the difference between a talent and a spiritual gift? We began to explore this a little bit last week. Alicia asked a question regarding it, and I thought, you know what, perhaps it would be good if we kind of unpacked that a little bit more. One thing we want to say here from the get-go is that the distinction between talents and gifts, there is a problem of language here, because do we not use those terms interchangeably at times? We do. And so sometimes it can lead to some confusion as a result. I'm not saying that that then means, you know, you can't use them interchangeably. You just have to be wise about when you do that and the context in which you use them. So there is a problem of language here. Just recognize that. But talents, perhaps this is a helpful way to think about it. Talents are abilities that the Spirit gives via nature, irrespective of conversion. Do we not all of us in this room, do we not benefit from the gifts that God has given to unbelievers? Absolutely. There's no question. We would not be here today. None of us would be here today. If God had not given gifts to unbelievers, the lights probably wouldn't work. I don't know how our water system would function. I just don't know. I don't know all the history behind those things. But we can definitely say for sure that God has given gifts, or talents, if you will. He has given talents to unbelievers who don't know the Lord. And he's given talents to believers who do. And they have used those talents for the benefit of mankind. And we praise the Lord for it. Is it not true that God is the one who has given them those abilities? Yes, of course, absolutely. Whether we're talking about musical abilities, mechanical abilities, whatever the case may be, the Lord has done it. Talents are abilities that the Spirit gives via nature, irrespective of conversion. Gifts, we might think about it this way. Gifts are abilities the Spirit bestows that may work with nature, but not necessarily, at least not initially. And I gave you the example of myself. All of my teachers would have said, Cliff Daniel does not have the ability to stand up in front of people and communicate. They would have told you that. My dad's last wife, she would have concurred. There's no way in the world he is going to be able to do that. There's no way in the world that he can construct a sentence that makes any sense whatsoever. She read my papers when I was in high school. So she knew, but the Holy Spirit works. And he gave me gifts that maybe naturally I didn't have. And perhaps that's the case with you. Maybe you remember John Payne. Those of you who were here whenever John Payne was a pastor, he described a similar situation where he was this type of person before he was a Christian. Academic abilities, zero. Or he certainly didn't use them. He didn't care. There was no interest in such things. But then when he was converted, the Lord changed him and gave him gifts that prior he didn't necessarily have. So sometimes the Spirit bestows gifts that do work with nature, but other times not necessarily. Think about it in regards to two characters in the Old Testament who helped to construct the tabernacle. This is from Exodus chapter 31, verses 1 through 6. Talks about these two individuals here, Bezaleel and Oholiab. They were filled with the Spirit of God, with ability and intelligence, with knowledge and all craftsmanship. These were two guys who had a reputation for being really good with their hands. And they were excellent craftsmen. And when the tabernacle was being built, they were tapped on the shoulder and said, hey, can you use those talents? Can you use those God-given abilities to serve in the church? And they said, absolutely. And they helped to construct the tabernacle. So let's think about it like this for just a second. Art, talent, or gift? Talent. Okay? Just hear me out. Talent. Home repair. You're really good with your hands. Talent or gift? Talent. Now listen, I don't have either one of those talents. If the Carmens commissioned Cliff Daniel to paint an artwork you better get your money back because it's going to be awful. Everything that I draw, it looks like a turtle, pretty much. Right, Maylee? Yes, exactly. It's awful. I can't do it. Okay. But some of you, you have a natural talent to be able to do that kind of stuff. Others, maybe it is in construction and these kinds of things. But here's the key, and we kind of got to this a little bit last week. Those talents can be used in a service orientation for the glory of God and the benefit of others. And that's where the gift comes in. The gift is in the area of service. You might use your talents to serve others in the church or outside of the church that the gospel may be spread. That's the idea that we're trying to focus on here. So we think, big deal, right? What's the point? If you don't know what your gifts are, start by employing your talents in areas of service. Maybe that's a good thing to do. You sit here today and you think, Pastor Cliff, I really don't know what my spiritual gifts are. Or what are your talents? What are the natural abilities that God has given you? Start using those in the areas of service and speaking. Maybe you do have a gift for arts. Use that in the area of service. It can be a huge help. We need it. Maybe you have certain talents that, you know, are more geared towards speaking. Well, use them in that way, whatever they may be. So, any comments regarding talents and gifts? Yes, ma'am. Please do. And if you need somebody as a taste tester, I'll sign up. Happy to. Absolutely. Yes, especially if it's cookies. No doubt. Though they do have to be chocolate chip. And you can add Will Chapman down there, too. I don't think he's in here, but you can add him down there. He'll be on the taste tester list, too. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Stephen is certainly a good model for us in using gifts. Next question we want to explore, and we'll spend more time here. Why are spiritual gifts given? Why are they given? And we're going to use Ephesians 4, verses 11 and 12 to kind of unpack this a little bit. And I just want to make a note here. We will explore these verses again later on and with a little bit of a different emphasis. So you're going to hear this in the weeks ahead just from perhaps a different perspective, different angle. Ephesians 4, 11 through 12. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. All right, let's think about this group up here. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers. Who are these folks? Well, they were the early leaders. They were the leaders of the church. And they were called to lead and to exercise their gifts in a variety of ways. We'll get to that in just a minute. But particularly, what were they called to do? Use their gifts within their offices for a specific purpose. And that purpose, Paul, he could have said a lot here regarding what's the purpose. But notice what he chooses to focus on. They used their gifts within their offices for a specific purpose, which was to equip. It's the next little phrase that's there, to equip. Now that word equip, it means to mend. Like, you know, you have a fishnet or you got a hole in your clothes and you're going to mend it, you're going to sew it up. That's the idea. To equip means to mend, to repair what's broken, what's been messed up, restore. You got a coffee table that you want to restore. You want to use it, but it's messed up. And so what do? You sand it down and you fix it and all this kind of good stuff. You stain it maybe the way that you want it stained, or you paint it. Whatever the case may be, you're going to restore it. It also means to prepare. Maybe your weed eater's broken, and so you fix it. Why? Because you want to use it. You're preparing it for its purpose, to be used in a particular way. That's the idea here. It's filling up what is lacking, making something ready, or renewing something to usefulness. That's what the word equip means, and that's what these leaders are called to do. They're called to equip. They're called to mend, restore, and prepare people for usefulness in the church. Who, though? Who is it that they are called to do that with? And again, he could choose to use a lot of different words here. to describe the who. But notice what he does. The saints. The saints. These are leaders to equip the saints. Leaders use their gifts to teach, to confront, and develop saints. Now, who are saints? What does that word mean? It's us, yes, but what does the word mean? Holy ones, right? It's holy ones. Those who've been set apart. Set apart by the grace of God. Saved in Jesus Christ. That's what the word means. I know that sometimes in Roman Catholic context it can mean something different. But humbly, I would just say that incorrect. The word saint just describes believers in general. And it's describing the work of God in their lives to set them apart through the blood of Christ. What does this tell you about the work of leaders? That they are trying to equip saints. Well, here's something very important. The work of leaders is with people for whom Christ died. That is significant for how leaders should treat those people. Now, this does also need, something else also needs to be said. Sometimes we can create this unhealthy divide between clergy and laity. Understand something very important. When Tim Verner is teaching Sunday school, am I a part of the leader group or am I a part of the saint group that's being equipped at that moment? Saint group that's being equipped at that moment. It's not as if I sit in the back and say, oh, this is not for me. I don't need to be equipped. That would be absolutely arrogant of me to say that. No, leaders, they oftentimes will find themselves in the saint pool being equipped with everybody else. Right? That's important to say. But it's also important to say, for those of us in this room who are leaders, elders or deacons, and we could even apply this to Sunday school teachers, those of you that are involved in mentoring ministry, and a whole host of other areas, parents, that you have to be patient with folks in the church. You cannot just treat them however you want. Neither can I. Jesus Christ died for them. And that means that I should be very careful about my engagement with them and how I respond to them, how I seek to equip them. I do it out of love and thankfulness. Even when they might be a little bit snippy back at me, that doesn't give me the right to return the same likewise. Definitely not. The work of leaders is with people for whom Christ died. The work of leaders is not easy because I know it's early, okay, but simul justus et peccator. What does that mean? It's Latin. Close. Same time, sinner, and saint, right? This is a very famous Latin phrase from the Reformation, Martin Luther, on and on and on. Saints, yes, we all are saints, but last time I checked, we're all sinners as well. And leaders have to work with saints, yes, but they're, at the same time, they're transgressors of God's law. That means the work of leaders is not easy. You're seeking to refinish a pot that, you know, maybe one of your kids accidentally, a priceless vase that one of your kids knocked over. And you just don't haphazardly put it all together. Here you go. No, you take great care. You're careful about how you put each piece back. And you don't want it to look trashy when you get finished. You want it to look good. Well, that's the idea here. The work of leaders, it's not easy to put these pieces and to deal with them in a careful way. But that's the call of a leader, is to do that. The work of leaders is to mend, restore, and prepare saints. Brothers, how well are we doing? Parents, how well are we doing? Things for us to think about. But what are we preparing them for? Well, for the work of ministry, these verses say. Church leaders use their gifts to help others be effective in employing their gifts for the work of ministry. Now, what kind of ministry? The word ministry there, it's the same word for deacon, just means service. So it's very broad. It's including all types of service, a whole bunch of them. And when we think about that, and specifically what's being talked about here, that leaders work hard to equip fellow believers for the work of ministry, here's the attitude that we oftentimes have. Many church members assume they are paying their pastors to do all the evangelism, counseling, visiting, planning, and other ministries of the church. Is that consistent with what Ephesians 4, 11, and 12 is saying? No. Well, it's all on Pastor David and I. It's just the two of us. That's what your band is to do. So we got to do it all. No, actually, I think that that's talking about leaders. Their calling is to equip fellow believers to do the work. And actually to do a lot of the work, a whole bunch of it. If I'm the only one in the church who's doing counseling, if the two of us are the only people doing counseling in the church, something's wrong. Definitely. If it's just the elders who are doing that, something's broken. That should not be the case. Why do we oftentimes have this perspective? Yeah, there is this, you know, American professionalized perspective, attitude that we can have. That's very true. What else? We're lazy. We're fearful. I think that's a big one. We're afraid of failure. And so as a result, we don't serve. And maybe that's the case for you. Maybe you know what your gifts are, or you have a general idea. I'm more interested in service, or I'm more interested in speaking, but you're afraid. You're afraid to fail. And as a result, you take a step back and you just let the quote-unquote experts do it. That certainly is not biblical. We trust the Lord to help us to use our gifts. That's true for all of us. God has given leaders the specialized role of preparing the saints so that most ministry will be carried out by the members themselves. That is very true. Purpose of the ministry. What's the purpose of the ministry? Well, it's for the building up of the body of Christ. That's why members are being equipped. When leaders and members use their gifts, it should lead to the constructing and strengthening of the church. If we want Grace Presbyterian to be a healthy congregation, leaders need to work hard, really hard, and perhaps do some self-evaluation about how hard we are working to help the congregation employ their gifts, to know them and to use them. And then members need to be very conscientious about using their gifts in the ways that God would have them do so. Who is building the church? Are we building the church? No. Christ is building his church by the Spirit through us. And that should lead you to scratch your head and think, why me? I mean, who am I that God would use me? I don't even deserve to be a doorman in the kingdom of God. I don't even deserve to be the door stopper that props the door open. And yet the Lord would be so kind to use me in whatever way he would see fit, should humble us and make us so grateful that God would give us gifts. He's the one who is building his church. So perhaps that we need to make some comments here. A word to leaders. Are we preparing our people? Are we doing that? How good of a job are we doing? A word to members, which really includes all of us. Are you receiving the ministry of others? Are you receiving the equipping of your leaders? Are you receiving the ministry of those around you? And are you then ministering yourself? Something very practical. Leaders, use your gifts in your office to help others with theirs. And that can be done in a thousand ways. It can be done through something formal like this. It can be, hey, why don't you come over this coming Sunday and let's just have a meal together, and spending time with people, getting to know them so that you have opportunity to encourage them and build them up in the faith. It could be like somebody did last night at my house after this person had a long day of work all day. Called me up and said, hey, can I come look at your roof? Because we have a leak in our roof. And I was like, absolutely. This person's been working all day. It's 8 o'clock at night. But he just wanted to serve. And he came over and he did that. And he's a deacon. He's using his gifts. He's spending himself for the good of others. Leaders, that's what we ought to do. Members, use your gifts in your home. It doesn't have to be in a formal church context. In the church and in the community to further build up the body of Christ. Well, think about it this way. If you have speaking gifts, okay, maybe right there, there's not a place for you to formally exercise that gift in this local body, just given where we're at right now. But what about in your own home? What about with your children? What about with kids in the neighborhood? What about people at work or people in other contexts? Pray and ask the Lord, please, Lord, would you give me an opportunity to use my gifts or help me to see them? And then go after it and employ the gifts that God has provided for you. Another question here, what are the results of using our gifts? Again, we're going to kind of speed through this one a little bit because what we're doing is we're looking at this passage right here. And we're going to dive into it more deeply in the weeks ahead. But just for now, a cursory look at it. Until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. What's the result of leaders equipping members and then members and leaders seeking to minister to one another and within their community context? What's the result? Well, attain to the unity of the faith. Using gifts will lead to a more unified congregation. Think Corinth. Were they unified? Oh, yes, absolutely. No, they weren't. Definitely not. You can read it easily. You'll see it. It jumps off the page. What does Paul instruct them regarding? Using gifts, right? Why did he do that? Well, one reason is because if they will use their gifts, they'll become more unified. It'll at least help in the process of unity. So using gifts will lead to a more unified congregation. And it will also lead to the knowledge of the Son of God. Using gifts well will lead to a greater understanding of the Word and experience of God and His grace. How? How is it that using spiritual gifts well will lead to all of us growing in the knowledge of God and the experience of God's grace? Absolutely, yes. And think about it this way. Here I am seeking to try to use my gifts. As the gospel is proclaimed, do we not all benefit from that? Do we not all grow as Pastor David stands up in just a little bit and preaches the word? Are we not benefiting from the Holy Spirit giving him gifts? Absolutely we are. What's one of the benefits? It's that we grow in our knowledge of God and our experience of God's grace. God's love is further pressed upon our hearts and we're filled with thankfulness and joy and we praise God for his goodness and kindness towards us. Or as somebody brings you a meal and you think, oh, I'm so thankful for them. And that makes you praise the Lord for his kindness towards you, that somebody in the church would be so generous that they would bring you a meal in your time of need. And it makes you think to yourself, I want to do that. I want to be that kind of servant. Okay? Definitely, definitely. You know, you guys have probably heard plenty of stories in church history about how people were trying to use their gifts and they weren't really received. But the person was to continue to use them regardless, because ultimately, you're right, we use them for God's glory, even if others are not willing to take what we give, so to speak. But here's another result. We are led to maturity in Christ. Using gifts well will lead to greater maturity because you will be made more Christ-like. And how does that happen? Well, as people employ their gifts, you receive benefit from it and you grow in the faith and it advances you in the things of God. It also will make it so that you are not tossed to and fro. Gifts, well, will help to make you more stable, less easily deceived, and able to speak the truth in love. Spiritual gifts make it so that the truth is communicated to you and it's modeled to you. So this person who came over to my house last night, that ministered to me. It reminded me, Cliff, spend and be spent for the sake of Christ. Think about this deacon here and all that he had to do today and all that he had to do Monday through Friday. And what did he do? 8 o'clock at night, he comes over and he says, "Hey, can I hop on your roof and just look at it real quick?" And he did that. It's helping me to be a more stable person in the faith, so I'm not easily tossed to and fro by sufferings that may come my way or the deceits of the world. On and on we could go. Here's another one. The result of spiritual gifts will lead us to grow up. Using gifts well will help to make the church grow morally or in holiness for sure. Experientially, experiencing God's grace, so thankful for His goodness and love. Vocationally, we will be spurred on to love and good deeds. We will be spurred on by other people using their gifts to use ours. And it will help us relationally to grow. I will grow in my affection for you and you for me. And it may even lead to numerical growth. Not always, but it might. You don't know. As you just seek to be faithful, it could be that the Lord uses your faithfulness with your spiritual gifts to lead people to come to church, or maybe you have an opportunity to share Christ. Absolutely. You just seek to be faithful, trust God with everything else. How does all of this happen? Well, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Okay? The result of using your gifts is that the church will become unified, loving, mature, wise, effective, and successful. Not necessarily based on what the world thinks, but what God has to say. So do your part. Do your part in the local church. Humbly receive the gifts of others. And watch what God will do in you. Key word there is humbly receive. Key words, I should say. Humbly receive them. The gifts of others, and then gladly use your gifts and watch what God will do through you. Last week we had Millie Mahoney here, and for those of you who don't know Millie, she's been a part of our church for quite some time, but I remember the Hughes family, and the Hughes family, they sought to just simply use their gifts. They invited Millie Mahoney over. They lived in the same neighborhood. They did a Christianity Explored course for about 7 weeks. They just went through the Gospel of Mark, and they had several people who were a part of it. Aaron did it, and Millie, she started coming to our church. And somewhere along the way, she was converted. She was not a Christian before then. There was a man and a family that just sought to be faithful and use their gifts, service gifts and speaking gifts. Gladly use your gifts and watch what God will do through you. Very quickly, how can we discover our spiritual gifts? We started to dabble in this last week. We certainly will in the weeks ahead in more detail. Here's just some things for you to begin to think about. You want to discover what your spiritual gifts are. Here's a good place to start. We already talked about maybe consider your talents, what you like to do, and seek to do that within the context of a local church, serve in various ways. But study the Bible. Pray and ask the Lord to help you. Examine your motives. Why do I want to do this particular thing? Evaluate your abilities, and that takes some humility. And when I say evaluate your abilities, sometimes you, your mama, and your granny are not the best people to ask. Okay? It's the way it goes. Okay? You get other people to evaluate your abilities who will be honest with you and tell you, "Yeah, no, you're not called to build houses, Cliff. Okay? You just can't do it." Ask other people and serve in a variety of ways. The church is not like a basketball team with two or three superstars. My Grace Presbyterian Church is not LeBron James and KD. And you can add Kyrie if you want to, those of you who are familiar with the NBA. The church is not like a basketball team with two or three superstars surrounded by B-team players. Players that are on expiring contracts. No, that's not the church. The church is the body of Christ. It's giving gifts to use in service for others, each with an important role and necessary for the building up of the body of the church. Life in the Father's house is not a spectator sport. We are all full-time ministers, just in different ways. Because your life is not your own. It's Christ's. And to be lived for Christ, given his love and labor for you. But what will we do? Will we use our gifts as we begin to go further down the road of examining spiritual gifts? One thing we want to say from the get-go is cry out to God and ask him to help you, not only to know your gifts, but Lord, help me to use them in the context of this local body. Where do we go from here? We're going to begin to talk about the nature of gifts themselves, like specifically. In particular, we want to think about, are there some gifts that maybe they've stopped? Or are they all in play? And so Pastor David will begin to unpack that next week. Let me pray for us. Father in heaven, we praise you for your goodness towards us, that you would give us gifts. We recognize that the chief gift is your Son, who bled and died for us. We praise you that as a part of the benefits we receive in Christ, we are endowed with various spiritual gifts, particularly in areas of service and speaking. Father, we pray that you would help us to humbly repent where we have been slack in using our gifts. Lord, we also pray that you would enlighten us and help us to know where we can best serve. We pray that you would help us to be faithful to do it and then trust you with whatever comes afterwards. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.